Hi, everyone. I'm Jennifer Vine, President and CEO of the Education Foundation of Sarasota County and your host for Education Conversations, where we share ideas on education today and ways to help prepare students to thrive. I want to start first by thanking today's sponsor, Bank of America, for supporting today's episode. We so appreciate all you do to support education. And I want to welcome everyone to the continuation of our mini-series that we're having right now on education and the economy. This episode is going to be focused on education and the workforce. And so it's an area that today's guest knows a lot about. And I was just commenting to him as before we went on the air that this is also something that I find so intriguing that I know I'm going to learn a lot from him as well. Josh Matlock is the president and CEO of CareerSource Suncoast, which is a workforce development board. So I want to learn about you, Josh. I want to hear about your trajectory. And I definitely want to hear, and I know our listeners want to learn, you know, the intersection of education and the work that CareerSource does. So, Josh, welcome to Education Conversations.
Thanks so much, Jennifer. It's, I'm honored to be here and I appreciate the invite and look forward to having a great conversation around the subject areas.
Yeah. And I know, Josh, you are one of our wonderful leaders on the steering committee for Planet Sarasota. And for the listeners who may not have tuned in yet, Planet Sarasota is our local college access network where together we're trying to increase the rate of our working age adults holding a high quality degree, certificate, or diploma. And all of your work at CareerSource is really focused on workforce and the employability. So can you start maybe first by sharing a little bit about the mission and the work that you do at CareerSource?
Absolutely. So, you know, CareerSource is a local workforce development board. And, you know, we are primarily federally funded through the Department of Labor, Department of Health and Human Services, and Department of Agriculture. And, you know, our mission is to identify and invest in workforce development solutions to meet the needs of Manatee and Sarasota counties. That happens to be our region. It's also an MSA, so it's a nice little area to serve. And then our vision is to develop highly skilled and responsive workforce that fuels a thriving economy. Every day, we're looking out in the community, working with partners to identify those areas that need some solutions to help make sure that we have the workforce our community needs to be thriving. So,
can you give a little bit of an example of the diversification of services that you provide? Because you certainly are watching employability. You're following the trends and the statistics and everything. But aren't you taking it from a full spectrum to not only like those who are unemployed to be employed, to those who are employed to upskilling their employment? So can you maybe share a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. So we work with individuals and businesses and industries in our community. The individuals can be, you know, anywhere from someone, an individual who is receiving food stamps that needs help to add some skills to hopefully get them to a place where they're self-sufficient and can get off of benefits. Those who receive cash assistance, also known among laypersons welfare. Mm-hmm. And so we work with that population as well to help them gain skills, help them improve their career prospects, to help them get to a place where they're self-sufficient and can provide for their families. And then we also work with all the way up to, you know, people in the C-suite who've been laid off, right? So we're helping a broad swath of our population to help identify opportunities, help identify what their hopes and dreams are as it relates to career, and find ways that we can guide them along that path and help them reach those places.
That's terrific. So before I go into more questions about CareerSource and the work, let's maybe talk a little bit about you, because I think as any leader of an organization, you really have to have a heart and a passion for the work. And you've been with CareerSource for a while. So can you maybe share a little bit about your own trajectory of how you first began and how when you became the CEO?
Yeah, it's interesting. So I moved to Sarasota in 2009. And it just so happened that in 2009, we were in a big recession.
Indeed, we were.
Yeah, lots of folks who are unemployed and not a lot of jobs out there. And so I just happened to interact with somebody in the community who learned that I was new to the community and said, hey, there's this place down the street you should go check out. They helped me get my job, so maybe they can help you find a job here. At the time, we weren't called Career Source. We were called Jobs, Etc. Our business is countercyclical. When the economy's doing bad, we receive more funding because we have more people to help mm-hmm. that need help. And the organization at the time was growing to respond to that recession. And so I ended up starting work with the Jobs, Etc., now Career Source Suncoast. So in 2009, started there and have kind of worked my way up through the organization to where now I get the opportunity to serve as the CEO.
That's absolutely impressive. And so what keeps you going to go every day and continuing to work up that trajectory? Why does Career Source matter to you personally?
I always wanted to be in some sort of public service for a long time. I can remember that. And so the organization aligns really well with my values and contributing to the community to help make it a better place. And so every day we get to work with individuals, with businesses to discover what their hopes and dreams are, and then come alongside them and help them reach those dreams, help them reach those objectives and goals. And then we have the federal grants that help us help them get to those places. We use those resources to, you know, help them go to Suncoast Technical College to pay for their tuition, to give them good guidance on what occupations are good ones to go into in the community, which ones have good prospects for them. And so we're a guiding coach for them, but also we have some resources, some dollars to help them reach those goals.
And when you think about all of those different services that you provide, you know, being in the education space, we care a lot about kind of where the kids are going, particularly after high school. What are some of the initiatives that you all have introduced that you are proud of?
So the federal grant is the primary federal grant that allows us to exist is the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act. And the cool thing about that is it creates a lot of discretion at the local level to determine what the needs are. And so we're able to adjust our focus based on the current economic conditions at the local community level. Like I said, in 2009, a lot of our focus was helping people who were dislocated from their work, who were unemployed, find what was next, and perhaps even go gain new skills to help them thrive in the new economy. At the moment, unemployment rates are super low. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that has to do with demographic reasons that I can go into later. But, you know, we're not helping a lot of unemployed folks right now. Mm-hmm. So a lot of our focus is on some things like apprenticeship, entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. So we're working to ensure that our youth are going into the workforce is expedited. And so one of the things is the labor market that we have today is much different than the labor market not too long ago. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it has to do with the boomers' generation is retiring. The last boomer will reach full retirement in 2031. And that the generation didn't have enough kids to replace themselves. And so a lot of the labor shortages we see across the nation and here locally have to do with that fact. And so in the past, when we were operating under a labor abundance not too long ago, we could take a more passive approach to people, you know, figuring out what they want to do for their life. We have to take a more active role now because, you know, we can't let folks take 10 years to figure out after graduation what they're going to do. But hopefully we can intervene at an earlier age. And a lot of that work we're doing with the Education Foundation through Planet. Mm-hmm. And developing plans and helping them come and, you know, experience different careers and make those decisions at an earlier age so that they can get into the workforce sooner.
That is very valuable. How do people learn about you? How are they referred to you for services?
You know, a lot of those that we serve day to day who come to our career centers receive a letter that they need to come see us. So if you have someone who's receiving food stamps, they receive a letter that says, hey, you've got to come see Career Source to stay in good standing and continue to receive your benefits. Those who are on cash assistance, the same thing. Those who are unemployed, to continue to receive unemployment, they have to come see us to receive some help.
Right.
So a lot of folks we serve actually are told, hey, you got to go see them and get some. And so that's a big swath of folks that we serve. But we also serve folks where we work with businesses directly, and we determine what are some challenges they may be facing in advancing their employees into higher skill positions. And we use the funding to help them craft solutions in, say, perhaps a form of an apprenticeship. So
right.
we have experts in-house who help them develop talent pipelines to solve those internal problems. We may work with an individual who happens to be an employee of an employer that we're working with.
Yeah, and I know from the Education Foundation standpoint and the partnership we have with Planet Sarasota, we seek those opportunities to be visibly collaborating so that, again, more students also become aware of the services that you provide. Because oftentimes, you know, our best efforts are to ensure students are graduating with a plan. We've not hit that stride of that vision. You know, not all kids are doing that. And so knowing that there are resources like Career Source that are available after they graduate and when they realize, you know, I think I do want more out of life, you're always such an available resource. And so I just want to thank you for the partnership that we have forged together. It's been really tremendous.
Absolutely. You know, just an example of that partnership and you know, working really well is, I know that the Education Foundation is working with the school district on the CEOs in schools.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got paired with Riverview High School. And in fact, yesterday I had our team members who are youth focused come in and speak with the principal there, Aaron. And we've come up with some ideas, and we're going to try to develop some systemic solutions to the need to be more career focused with some of the students. And there's going to be a lot of students. I think that the numbers were about 30% of the students there are not necessarily university bound,
right?
But need some career options. And so we're hoping to develop some ways to offer them some career options and give them some chances to say, hey, here's some different occupations out in the community that you need to learn more about. And if one really piques your interest, then here's some next steps and we can help you along the way.
I think that is fantastic. And I'm so happy to hear about actionable things coming from as a result of the CEO in schools. So we're really hoping to continue that with Sarasota County Schools. I want to comment too about how you mentioned you had a larger title for it, but what I heard was the Innovation Fund. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so fascinating that an entity that is mainly federally funded, state supported, has the ability to be innovative. I just want to call that out because you don't really hear that very often. But can you educate not only me, but our listeners, again, to the ways in which your funding comes in, particularly as you know, from the federal sources, and then what services are you helping to kind of augment from the state level?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we're probably 99% federally funded. The money passes through the state. So every state has a workforce development system, but each state has the discretion to determine what that system looks like within the framework of the federal law. And so it happens that Florida has one of the best workforce systems in the country. Right now, there's 21 regions. Ours happens to be Manatee, Sarasota County. And the way Florida does it is they unify the funding. So like I said, Department of Health and Human Services is a funder, Department of Agriculture, and Department of Labor. The monies come to the state based on a formula. So your demographics, mm-hmm. What's your population and what's your unemployment rate? That determines how much money the state gets. That same formula then follows the region. So what's the population of your region and what's your unemployment rate? So for us, we're about, you know, we're right in the middle in terms of size of budget. We take those dollars that pass through the state to us as a subrecipient, and then we have a local board of directors. And that local board of directors, by mandate of law, is business-led, and it's majority business owners or representatives of private sector businesses. And that our board develops our policy and determines our strategic direction for the community based on our interactions and relationships with various community leaders. And that kind of determines what our direction is and how we serve the community.
Yeah, so you're very locally driven, which is amazing. Because when you think about just the funneling down of the federal dollars to get that myopic, I think is terrific. So can you speak a little bit about what are you, your local board, you all seeing as the needs in our local community?
Well, I think number one for us, if you look at our median age here in our MSA, the median age is 54. The median age in Florida is 43. The median age in the United States is 39. Mm. We have an older population here. Mm-hmm. And so the challenges that the demographics create for us with the retirements and not enough folks born 20 years ago mm-hmm. going in the workforce now, it hits us first. Mm-hmm. We're going to feel it first. And so it happens that some of the top industries that are going to be impacted by this wave of retirements are our top industries locally. So the hardest hit, healthcare, construction, food and hospitality with the retirements, those are our top three industries here locally. And so for us, it's about partnerships with the Education Foundation, with the school districts, so we can expedite young adults' entry into the workforce because people at entry and mid-level positions are not moving into our region.
Right.
Right. So the workforce we have is the workforce that's here.
Right. So you want to capture them and keep them.
Yes.
And then support a thriving economy through the local youth population.
We've got to be a lot more efficient mm-hmm. with how we manage our local young workforce than we have ever had in the past. We had a, like I said, more passive approach in the past.
Right.
When you have labor abundance, it'll work itself
right.
out.
Yep.
It's scarcity now, so we've got to be more active in ensuring that we identify solutions to this.
Those are great, interesting problems to try to solve. They really are. Those are quite fascinating, and to have the local board coming around and surrounding you with good ideas, I think is probably very helpful to you. So you've said that 2025 will be the year of digital labor, and you see this as being a major disruption coming in the labor market. What do you mean by that, and how do we prepare our students to operate better in that new world?
Mark Benioff, the CEO of Salesforce, just announced a major product launch for them, and it's called Agentforce. He gave an example of how they use it internally, and the example he gave is, you know, they receive 32,000 customer service inquiries a week that they need to respond to, and they have a group of employees of 9,000 that work in that space. And so 32,000 a week of customer inquiries, 10,000 of those inquiries need to have some sort of human interaction, right? Since they've started using agents mm-hmm. internally, that number has gone from 10,000 to 5,000.
Oh.
So they've cut their human interaction need in half just with the agents. So that gives you an idea,
right?
This is just beginning. And 2025 is considered the year of agents across the board. And they call it digital labor. And so we're going to begin to see some disruptions in the labor market as a result of this type of advancement. I know that another quote that I've heard this week is from the CEO of Anthropic, Dario Modi. He said, in the next 2 to 3 years, we're going to have a country of geniuses in a data center. So that level of intelligence and expertise in a data center that a company could utilize is going to be disruptive to various sectors and industries. And then Logan Kilpatrick, who's a leader in Google, who works on their one of their large language models, his quote was, you know, if you're not planning for the price of intelligence to go to zero in the next 3 to 5 years, you're going to be incredibly disruptive to your business and life. So he said, you better buckle up. It's going to get interesting.
I think everyone is feeling a sense of that for sure. But to see it play out in the way the workforce development field is not just responding, because maybe responding as opposed to reacting. Like, it's almost like you have to be as a forethought leader in creating that disruption, hence why the innovation and everything is so necessary.
Yeah, I like the term developing a future-ready workforce. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that we're going to have to do is think about how can we help our students master and leverage these tools, the AI tools. Mm-hmm. I think that the way to think about it is we have lots of tools that we use in work, especially in the physical realm. So once upon a time, you know, in the industry age, it was all about how can we develop tools that increase our capability, our physical capability to in agriculture, mm-hmm. and you know, manufacturing, production. And so we have developed physical tools that help us as humans do more and do things that we can never dream of doing as with our own physical bodies. Mm-hmm. Now we're getting to a place where the tools are going to be tools of intelligence.
Mm-hmm. You're exactly right.
Right. Let's say you have a crane that helps you build things. You could never do that as a bunch of humans just without your physical body. Now, let's say you have something that's intelligence-based that helps you increase your capabilities there. So it's going to be very interesting and disruptive. The other thing I would say, so mastering and leveraging intelligence tools, but also I think maybe helping students understand business modeling and business fundamentals so that they can better understand where they fit into a business and mm-hmm. add value while leveraging those tools. I think that's going to be important for students moving forward.
I think you're right. And as we see the disruption in the workforce, the demands that are, you know, coming forth from these new technologies, it absolutely is having a ripple down effect on how schools respond and how does education play out in a child's journey. So I'm actually super excited to see kind of where the future unfolds. But yes, you are right. Whoever gave you that quote of buckle up, I think this is the time that we need to be buckling up because there's a lot that's in front of our windshield. Yeah. Wow. Any final thoughts before we wrap up today's episode?
No, I want to thank you, Jennifer, and the Education Foundation. Communities need these types of partnerships, these relationships. And it's these relationships and partnerships that really allow us to tackle complex problems. Most of the problems that we have in front of us are complex. It requires system solutions, and it's organizations like the Education Foundation that helps convene the right people, pull the right people together to solve these big problems.
Well, it's a pleasure to work with CareerSource, with you, Josh, particularly. It's been a longstanding friendship and partnership, and I agree with you that collaboration is the key to success in some of addressing today's problems. So again, thank you for being a guest on today's episode.
It's
been very educational, really fascinating conversation. And listeners, if you want to learn more about CareerSource Suncoast, you can visit them at their website at careersourcesuncoast.com, and you always can learn more about the Education Foundation at edfoundationsrq.org. One final shout out to Bank of America. Again, thank you so much for sponsoring today's episode. And thanks for all of you listeners to tuning in. As always, we appreciate you as well. Be sure to tune in to other episodes of Education Conversations. You can always find us wherever you listen to your podcast. This is Jennifer Vine signing off for the Education Foundation of Sarasota County.